be to God.
Anna Grace, what grade are you in? Did you hear what grade she was in? The second grade. You're just going into the third. Okay, can you believe that she read the Word of God with such clarity? That's not an easy passage to read. We love you. You keep reading God's Word, okay? So proud of you. Well, good morning, saints. And good morning, sinners. I know you have your Bible turned to the book of Ephesians. In fact, how many of you have your Bibles here today? Would you hold them up? Oh, thank you so very much. This is the living Word of God, and 15 minutes a day in the Word of God can transform our lives. Now, I want to invite you to take your bulletin and to take notes today, because I'm going to give you 8 words. That's it. 8 words with a brief explanation. It's been an incredible week, hasn't it? I mean, what do you think about the international rescue of the 12 Thai soccer players and their coach? Is that not incredible? How the countries came together to unite around a need, and out of that cave came 13 precious people. And then we turn into our local paper about a national scene to read once again about a serial killer, 7 people he killed, 1 young woman he held captive for 65 days in a container. And we have gone from the top to the bottom, and we have no doubt in this congregation gone all in between. So where is the stability? Where can we turn? What can be bedrock for us? In the passage that is before us today, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Ephesians — now there is some doubt as to who wrote Ephesians, but I believe it was the Apostle Paul — he opens with this passage, chapter 3, verse 3 through 14, that in the Hebrew is called a berakah. Berakah. Now, in the Jewish synagogue worship, you would see the berakah expressed in worship. It was an expression of praise to God. It was a lyrical song of praise to God. Look how this passage begins. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to posit before you today that if you're on the mountaintop, or if you're in the valley, it always lifts our countenance to God when we begin and when we focus on praising God Almighty. Now, very curious that Paul is overflowing with praise in this passage. In fact, from chapter 1, verse 3 to chapter to verse 14 is one sentence in the Greek. In the original text, in the Greek language, this is one sentence. It's like Paul is lilting from one expression to the other, one to the other, because he can't stop praising God. Now, the overall point of this passage is this. It's to lay out the sweeping plan for history. God's sweeping plan for history in praise. And the particular place that the church of Ephesus, and I believe our church, plays in that history. It's our go-to passage. When we're on top of the mountain or we're in the valley, it's an overall confidence as Paul is praising God, that God has got this. Whatever we're walking through, God has got this. He's got a plan, and nothing is catching him off guard. So here's the first word. In our praise to God, whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, we begin by realizing that we are blessed. The word blessed. And Paul puts it this way. Sometimes we focus on the earthly plane and we fall prey to comparing our lot to other people. When Paul says, lift your countenance, lift your face to the heavens, because you are blessed by a supreme God in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Would you say this with me? Say, I am blessed. Say that with me. I am blessed. The second word is this. Paul says, not only are you blessed, but as a child of God, you are chosen. Now, listen closely to what he says. Long before God made the galaxies, long before he hurled the first star in the stratosphere or hung the sun and moon in their places of prominence, God had you and me on his mind and in his heart. We were and are the focus of his love. Why are we the focus of his love? So that we might be whole, complete, so that we might be holy. And long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. We're adopted. We are adopted. And he took great pleasure in doing this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift by giving to us Jesus Christ. Long ago, before the formation of the galaxies, God had you and me on his mind and in his heart. Say with me, I am chosen. I am chosen. You're not only blessed, you're not only chosen, and we should praise God for that, but you're also redeemed and forgiven. Redeemed and forgiven. Here is what Paul says. Because of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, his blood poured out for us on the cross, we're a free people. We have been delivered. We're free of penalties and punishments chalked up to us because of our own misdeeds. We have been released. We're just not barely free. We are abundantly free because of the grace of Jesus Christ. I say to you, you are redeemed and forgiven. Say that with me. I am redeemed and forgiven. The next word in Paul's prayer of praise, he said, you are also included. Anybody ever been left out? Not wanted? Not desired? Just don't measure up? Paul said that God took such delight in making out a plan which included us. A long-range plan in which God brought everything together. And he summed up all of it in Jesus Christ. Everything in the deepest heaven and everything on planet Earth. It's in Jesus Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we ever first heard of Christ, he had his eye on us and we didn't even know it. Not even aware of it. We were part of his overall purpose, and he's working out everything in his plan. We were included in that plan. when we heard the message, when we received the message, that is the gospel of salvation. Don't ever forget that when you feel left out and ostracized, alienated from whatever or whoever, God included you. So say with me, I am included. I am included. Paul goes on. He says, not only were you included, and you should give praise to God for that, but you have been sealed and deposited. You have been sealed and deposited. You see, when we believed through our own free will, we were marked with a seal. And that seal is the promised Holy Spirit. Now, in antiquity, a seal was affixed to a document to guarantee its genuineness. You are a genuine child of God through faith. A seal was also attached to goods in transit to indicate ownership and to ensure protection. When you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your life. That is the seal that you are God's son and God's daughter. But it goes deeper. The Holy Spirit is also a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Did you hear that? You see, the word deposit is borrowed from the commercial world. It means a first installment, a token payment, ensuring the vendor that the full amount will follow. So Paul regards the Holy Spirit as the first installment of the Christian's inheritance. In other words, the best is yet to come, because the Spirit of God is bearing witness to that. So you may be caring for an old parent who's dying. You may be walking through tragedy in your life. But don't ever forget that the worst thing that happens to you in this life will never be the last thing that happens to you, because God has said the best is yet to come, and there's been a deposit made on your behalf. So the last word is this. We can praise God because we're hope-filled. We are hope-filled. We have a homecoming around the corner, an inheritance awaiting for us. We'll get everything that God has planned for us, a praising and a glorious life. Did you hear that? A praising. Where for eternity we will gather around the throne of God Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who gave His Son for us, who willingly died for us and arose that we might have victory in this life and ultimate victory in the life to come. I tell you, we have every reason to keep hope alive. As I close, I'm acutely aware that this passage brings up words that are quite difficult for some. The words predestination and chosen to some bring up overwhelming feelings of hope, and to other people, feelings of deep division and derision. Years ago, when I taught during the day class at Furman University, at that time Furman did not have a historian of Christianity, so they asked me to step in the interim and to teach. And I taught, at my choice, 16th century Europe. And during that period of history, you had such people as Martin Luther and John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli and the Catholic Reformation or Counter-Reformation. And I would divide the class up into all of those groups, and I would give them a theme to consider in each class that I taught. There were always some that wanted to be the Calvinist in the group, and I could tell that they almost worshiped John Calvin more than Jesus. So I would let them be in that group. And I would hear many of their arguments for predestination, it was almost like, I'm predestined, some are not. And I sensed at times they knew more than God. The word is proarizo. It's there in the Bible. It's translated predestination. It's there. It's a definite biblical term. It is a reality. You know, I treasure the academic study of religion in order to understand the truths of God's word, but I also consider other vital avenues of interpretation as well based on word of God. You see, this passage is very dear to Donna and me, and it became very dear to us over 20 years ago. We adopted Joshua a little over 20 years ago, and the memories of our first sight of Joshua are so real and vivid that I would like for you to visit that with us right now. And take a look at the next slide. Now, he was 3.5 pounds. He was 3.5 pounds. He was he would struggle to drink an ounce, and we had to watch because he could choke. Well, he was like this when we arrived at the hospital, and I leaned over into his bassinet, and Donna and I did too. And I said, "Son, I said, you're adopted. I said, you're chosen. I said, I don't understand all of that. I said, it's a mystery to me, but we have been longing for you. And God has answered." And then, now isn't that joy? And the next. Now, as he keeps that slide on the screen, here's what I want to say to you. At that point in another state, when we walked in and we said, "Joshua, we're your mama and your daddy. We believe that God had you for us from before eternity. And all that we have is yours. You'll be constantly on our heart and on our minds. But outside of our salvation, you are the greatest gift we've ever had as a couple. When we went to the court, his lawyer was a dear friend. Our lawyer was a dear friend. And I'll never forget when the judge declared that we were parents. But you know when adoption became real for Joshua? Is when, through his own free will, he accepted the gift. There is a mystery to predestination. There is a mystery to being chosen. That when I hear it, I do not want to pull out Calvin or Augustine, who in the fourth century, or I want to pull out the Bible, and I want to read those passages, and then allow me to do this, okay? Here's what I want to do. I want to get on my knees, and I want to fall flat before God, and I want to praise a God who is far more sovereign than I will ever comprehend, and yet he is so close to us, even closer than our very breath. So that little fella has been the greatest gift that we have had. And we saw him go from 3.5 pounds to 6 pounds. And that when we would enter the room, and you know this as parents, He would sense our presence and start turning toward us. And that's exactly what God wants us to do with Him. So you see, this passage for me is my go-to story. No matter what, I'm blessed, and so are you. I'm chosen, and through Christ, each of us can be redeemed and forgiven, included, sealed and deposited, and lastly, hoped, filled. Thank you, God Almighty. Almighty God, as we come to this time of invitation, we come in reverential awe, in profound gratitude to you. And so, Lord, we lift our lyrical songs of praise to you through prayer, through our singing, and through our response on this invitation. Just give us Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you reach for your hymnal, before you make any transition to what the next step of your day is, please realize how holy this invitation time is. Someone in our congregation today is no doubt struggling with whether he or she should invite Jesus Christ into his or her heart. Would you pray for that person, maybe the one right beside you? Someone may have already responded to Jesus Christ, but a little bit intimidated about making a decision public. Would you pray for that person? There are others here today who want to take the next step of faith. It may be church membership. It may be rededication. I don't know what it is, but God is calling you to make it public. Do not hesitate. Let's pray this invitation through, and let's see what God has in store. You will need your bulletin and your hymnal for this invitation. It's hymn number 445 plus a stanza that is included in your bulletin. Let's stand, let's sing, and let's respond. Just give us Jesus.